Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
All right, welcome back. And now we are at the interview part of the show. And joining us now is someone that's been here before, who's written some great books. And this time we're going to be talking about a book he's written called Diana, Case Solved. And it's the definitive account and evidence that proves what really happened. Dylan Howard, thank you for being here.
It's great to be back on the program.
So how are you doing with times right now before we get into the book right now? You know, we're all kind of bunkered down. Is everything going good for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's wild times, isn't it? You never would expect that in our lifetime we would encounter something so tragic and such devastating. I mean, this is essentially the world war of our generation, and it's disheartening. It's restricted a lot of people's lives. That said, I'm fortunate enough to be in good health. I do live in New York City, but I left New York and came out to my summer home much earlier than expected. And let's just say I've been holed up in my office churning out a few books that are soon to be released.
Always working. I get that. I do
exactly.
It myself.
Exactly.
So now,
no rest for the wicked, right?
Exactly. I'm on it. So, Dylan, now this book, Diana, what got you involved in this case?
Well, as a kid growing up in Australia, a member of the Commonwealth, I was fascinated and fixated on the royal family and remain so today, so much so that on June 2nd, I have a book called Royals at War, which chronicles the scandals of the Windsors and indeed the split of Harry and Meghan and their move to Los Angeles. That aside, I remember as a kid growing up and distinctively remembering that moment in time when there was the break in television transmission to announce that Princess Diana had passed. Last year, I was fortunate enough to identified Diana as a subject of a book and a podcast series of the same title, Diana Case Solved. And I collaborated with a Australian retired homicide detective by the name of Colin McLaren, and we traveled to Paris and conducted our own investigation into the case. And what we found was rather illuminating, because we spoke to the one person who has evaded law enforcement authorities since that 1997 crash.
So how were you able to get that person to talk?
So what we know is that eyewitnesses have placed a white Fiat Uno inside the tunnel where Diana lost her life. That white Fiat Uno was seen speeding outside the other end of the tunnel as Diana's car lay dormant on the 17th pylon inside the tunnel. The man behind the wheel of that car is a gentleman by the name of Lee Van Tan. He has never spoken publicly about what took place that night. However, his father has indeed confirmed that on the night in question, he and his brother fixed the damaged white Fiat Uno and spray painted it red. He was taken in for questioning by French authorities, but released without charge. Lord Stevens, who oversaw Operation Pageant, which was the inquest into Diana's death, wanted to speak to Lee Van Tan, has made numerous approaches to him during the course of the inquest, and it is my understanding that he, via Scotland Yard, made an approach again last year to speak to Lee Van Tan. Now, Lee Van Tan has refused all overtures. The first thing Colin McLaren and I did was locate Lee Van Tan in suburban Paris. And we went to his home. He wasn't home. His son was. His son called his father. His father returned. And for the first time since 1997, 23 years later, Lee Van Tan stood there and answered questions about what took place that night. And to paraphrase, he said that he's been told never to speak about what took place that night, that French authorities have warned him not to participate in any British inquiry, and that he has no guilt or no remorse. Now, one must question, if you were responsible, I would caution to say responsible. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and I'll get into that part of the causation of the car accident in a moment. But one must ask the question, why has Lee Van Tan remained silent and not spoken? Well, I can only deduce that the reason for that is that the French authorities don't want a French national being blamed for the death of the People's Princess.
So, a conspiracy that he's being, or that he's involved in some sort of conspiracy, or that he did not, he's hiding something, is not true then?
Well, I believe that simply this was a routine car accident, the likes of which could happen on a Seattle street or a New York street. The reality was that on the night in question, Lee Van Tan's white Fiat Uno was traveling via a slip lane or a causeway lane entering into the tunnel. Diana's Mercedes was driving at excessive speed with a drunk driver behind the wheel. Lee Van Tan had no idea the Mercedes was coming up behind him. And the moment of collision was almost like a perfect storm. And it sent the Mercedes careering into the air. It hit the barge concrete wall of the tunnel. And then the Mercedes came careering down with an out-of-control car, a drunk driver, two passengers not wearing their seatbelt, and a bodyguard wearing his seatbelt. That car then crisscrossed its way through the tunnel, out of control, into the 17th pylon. Lee Van Tan, miraculously, suffered very little damage beyond a rear tail light and left the scene of the crime as police and paparazzi then turned up. Do I think that Lee Van Tan was involved in some form of conspiracy or operating at the behest of some intelligence operation to off Lady Diana? No, I don't. I think it was a simple car accident. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time and will forever have to live with the nightmare of knowing that he inconspicuously or unwittingly, I should say, caused this car accident. Well, we know that there is white paint. There was white paint on the Mercedes-Benz. And that matches the white Fiat Uno. And French police went on a search in Paris for the vehicle. That's what led them to Lee Van Tan. I think what fuels the conspiracy theories, and, you know, I love a conspiracy theory as much as anyone, but I think what fuels the conspiracy theory is that Princess Diana was an individual who was seriously concerned about her well-being, perhaps to the point of an obsession that she was scared that someone was out to kill her. In fact, in a letter that she wrote just before her death, she said, "In this particular phase in my life, it's the most dangerous. My husband, being Prince Charles, is planning an accident in my car, brake failure and serious head injury, in order to make the path clear for him to marry and to marry Camilla." She doesn't say that in the letter, but that being the suggestion. So I think you have a remarkable set of circumstances, almost like a jigsaw that pieces together to suggest, hey, this is a conspiracy of the highest order and that this was a planned killing. But the reality is that the evidence just doesn't point to that. The evidence points to a routine car accident and a set of circumstances thereafter, which were also very puzzling, that Diana potentially could have lived had French authorities have dealt with this situation in a more hastily manner in getting her to the nearest hospital, whereas it took a considerable amount of time, and she obviously passed away during that period.
So, Dylan, if I may, just kind of recapping, if over the last X amount of years since Diana's passing, we've had a family bereft of their mother, we've had conspiracies galore, and the boys have had to endure those conspiracies, and two individuals, and I'm going to sound a little bit cynical, so forgive me, so two individuals have travelled to Paris, done their own investigation, located Lee Van Tan, and he has more or less acknowledged and admitted being there and that this is what's happened. All of that time, does that not strike you as slightly worrying that, we still do not have some recourse for the two lads involved, William and Harry, and that there's this gentleman out there who, tragic accident, just hasn't been able to come forward and say that, and yet he's talked to you about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's troubling that he would not answer questions from Scotland Yard or participate in Operation Pageant. That is perplexing, it is disturbing, and it fails to put a period on the end of the sentence for Prince William and Prince Harry. At the same time, you have Mohammed Al-Fayed, who for years stirred up a hornet's nest of conspiracy theories, suggesting that MI6 and the CIA could have been involved, international arms dealers, the powerful establishment figures who wanted Diana dead because she was dating someone of Muslim descent. So you do have to sympathize with Harry and William, and to a large extent the royal family, that have been dogged with these allegations for years that they had some form of role in it. If only the British authorities could compel a French national to come forth and tell his side of the story, it would be a very different scenario. But they have no jurisdiction over him. And that is problematic in getting a final resolution to this case.
Can they not, and I don't know the law on this, it's genuinely a query, can they not kind of subpoena him to a court hearing, or can they not, you know, request that he takes part in and comes over and takes part in those discussions?
They would potentially have to charge him with a crime for which I don't believe he committed a crime. And, you know, the only crime that he may have committed would be leaving that of a car accident, or leaving that of a car accident scene. And the French authorities would move to block that. I mean, there is obviously a tremendous rivalry between the British and the French. And I can perhaps understand why, on the surface, the French authorities would block this. But to your point, it's blocking the truth. It's preventing everybody from understanding what actually took place on that fateful night. And it leaves open the question, was the death of Princess Diana a tragedy, or was it treason? It was a tragedy. And let's not forget, the man behind the wheel of the car was drunk as a monkey, should never have been put in that position, should never have been driving that car. Mm. And let's also not forget, Diana and Dodi weren't wearing seatbelts, yet Trevor Rees-Jones was, and Trevor Rees-Jones is the only survivor of the car accident.
I'm just thinking, in terms of all of the people whose lives have been so significantly affected, and the conspiracies and the damage to the royal family and the British sovereignty, why they would not have made him give evidence, or at least have those conversations, given that he has left the scene of a crime, and that, as you rightly say, is a crime in itself. The evidence that points to that we know that his car has been resprayed, taillight damage wouldn't indicate the respray, which indicates then that the respray is done to cover up the car. That all points to him being there, or a suspicion of him being there, because it's unusual and suspicious behaviour. And so for the impending damage that then does to the sovereignty.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I still would question why they wouldn't then pull somebody in if they had placed him there.
Lord Stevens has made the overtures many, many times. My sources tell me that it's been about 4 or 5 occasions that he's requested to speak to Lee Van Tan, and he has said on every occasion that he won't participate. Mm. When I asked him that question, he said they can come, but I won't answer their questions, which is deeply problematic in finally solving the case once and for all, and exonerating those that have been accused.
Absolutely. Were you able to have a conversation at length with him? Was this a brief conversation? Did you feel that he would want to offload what this is, if he's been carrying this secret for many years, and this he probably feels quite a range of emotions from it? Did you get the impression that he wanted to talk?
No. So he doesn't want to talk. That's quite evident. He doesn't speak English. He speaks French. So mm-hmm. Colin McLaren and I had a translator. We spoke to him for about 15 minutes. It is the second time that Colin McLaren has spoken to him. He previously spoke to him about 4 or 5 years ago off camera. Mm-hmm. And he said much of the same to Colin during that particular occasion. You can actually watch the video of Lee Van Tan. I'm sure it is on YouTube. If you YouTube and search for Dr. Phil Princess Diana, we did do an episode on his program in which Lee Van Tan, we played the video of our interaction with Lee Van Tan. And you can size him up for yourself. He is somebody who stood there and answered our questions, I think begrudgingly. Nevertheless, he did.
Was that using the same translator on both occasions, or did you have a separate one?
It was a separate translator, yes.
So interesting, isn't it? Because you think all of those people affected, why would you not just say, do you know what, this is, let's stop this. It was freak. This just happened.
Well, yes, absolutely. But one must consider placing themselves in Lee Van Tan's shoes. Do you want to be remembered for the rest of your life as the man who claimed the life of Princess Diana?
Mm. But he already is. He already is. That person is suspicious of, you know, there's a suspicion over
yes,
him, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. But
and reiterated by your book.
And he is concerned that if he was to go to Britain, that he would be charged. Mm. And that is why he is avoiding participating in any investigation. But you would hope, you would think that the French authorities would want a conclusion to this as much as the British authorities,
yeah,
and that they would compel him to participate. Nevertheless, I mean, I follow him on Instagram. He's now a bodybuilder, and he travels the world. He's of Vietnamese descent, and he's constantly traveling to Asia and the such and participating in various bodybuilding competitions. His life has gone on post Diana, and for him, it appears to be well and truly parked in the back of his mind.
So, is that kind of your hope when you when people pick up your book or they read this, that they kind of can get out of the conspiracy thought behind this?
Well, yes and no. I mean, any investigator wants to try and shine light on a dark space, and there have been few stories in the last 3 decades as big as the death of Diana. And few stories that have the big question mark on the end. So I think anyone that reads the book will come to the conclusion that Colin McLaren and I did, that Lee Van Tan was responsible unwittingly for the car accident, that there is a horrible lapse of judgment on the French authorities' behalf in not compelling Lee Van Tan to come forward, and that the British authorities are stymied in their attempt to try and provide the final answer to a riddle that has perplexed people for 23 years. You know, that is the role of law enforcement, to deliver the ending. In this instance, it was a law enforcement officer, a former homicide detective, and myself who were able to piece together the pieces of the puzzle to come to a conclusion about what happened to Diana. You would hope that it's not up to us to do that.
I would assume that that would have already been done. And I'm just thinking, engaging by the royal family's response, how they've remained relatively silent, how they have focused on the next thing they understand, which is the media being present. And surely if there was information from Scotland Yard that corroborates Lee Van Tan's involvement, although not able to bring him to account for that, then they would have been well informed of that.
I have no doubt that the British monarchy would be well aware of Lee Van Tan.
Mm.
The fact that Lord Stevens made an approach to him as soon as last year suggests to me that the British know exactly the ending to this story. Unfortunately, they just can't piece it together and put it definitively on paper. Because
do you think that's why Harry struggles so much?
I do. I think you could only imagine a kid losing your mother in the most tragic of circumstances and having to rebuild your life as part of the firm, as they call it, without a parental figure like Diana, like a mother in your life. And I do believe that that's why he's struggling. And I think it's quite evident that his break from the royal family is connected to everything that went on with his mother. He didn't want Meghan to be hounded by the paparazzi in the media, which he believes that the British tabloids were doing. She obviously also believed that because she has filed litigation against the Mail on Sunday newspaper about some of its coverage of her, coverage which she denies. She suffered a setback in court last week and had a number of motions dismissed from the particular case. But it's quite apparent that Harry believes that Meghan could be susceptible to the same types of intrusion, if you like, or intrusion upon seclusion, if you like, of being a member of the royal family.
And I'm guessing that's so Harry's dislike of the media on occasion, because it's not always, he uses the media as well to the advantage of supporting his causes, which is totally appropriate. But his dislike of the media is their involvement in their following, thus speeding up the travel of Diana's car at the time of her death, rather than focusing on somebody else might be responsible actually here, and the driver was drunk. So his views are against the
notion that the paparazzi played a critical role in the car accident. I do understand why they would exit the back of the Ritz-Carlton to avoid the paparazzi, but you have to understand these paparazzi were driving mopeds, scooters, low-powered motorcycles. They weren't able to keep up with the Mercedes-Benz. they weren't on the scene for minutes after the car accident. So the notion that the paparazzi caused the car accident is disbelievable to an extent. They may have been the impetus for them to speed and to try and lose them, but it's not as though they were
on their tail.
Right up the back of the Mercedes Benz. And that is a serious consideration that everyone must put into perspective.
So why do you think Harry places such a strong emphasis on the paparazzi then? Is it because of that kind of need to get away from them? Or do you think this other Lee Van Tan thing has just been dismissed in his mind?
I think that the memories for a young child being photographed by the paparazzos and growing up to learn that his mother marrying into the royal family became a paparazzo target from day dot really has left him mentally scarred about the media's intense interest in her life. And he replicates that with Meghan. And, I believe that Meghan has been the genesis for their move to the United States. I don't believe Harry necessarily wanted it as much as what she wanted. Nevertheless, he is fuming about the media interest in their relationship. And I can sympathize with that, but at the same time, there are different elements of society in which people have class establishments, and he is a public figure, a member of the monarchy that you're
Absolutely.
Brought into service for the country, and it has
and
been...
And he could have stepped down at another time. He didn't have to wait until he was married, etc., to step down from his frontline position. He could have stepped down at a previous time.
Yeah, so I do find it, as a monarchist myself and from Australia and a member of the Commonwealth, I do find it disheartening that he did stand down. I understand that. But we're all given a lot in life that maybe we don't necessarily want or believe in. Certainly things in my life I've not wanted, but I've had to endure. And everyone has situations like that. I think the royals' disappointment was replicated by that of the nation. I think that the nation was very hurt that Harry would step down from official duties and move to America. Just the notion of moving to Los Angeles itself is somewhat questionable, I think, to most Brits who may look at it and think that it is, a pursuit of stardom, especially when you watch the video of Harry pitching Meghan to the former head of Disney, Bob Iger. It really was an unfortunate set of circumstances which made them look like they were searching for fame as opposed to doing work outside of the monarchy, for which Meghan has done in narrating the film for Disney in serving other causes.
You know, I think that a lot of the conspiracies that surround this... they seem to involve the CIA or the British Secret Service. So why do you think that is? Like, is that because I heard that the driver was paid by the CIA? Any truth to that?
There is no demonstrable proof to suggest that that Henri Paul was an informant of any intelligence operation. The suggestion that Diana was pregnant at the time and was killed because she was going to have a Muslim child. These are some of the wild and wacky conspiracy theories that have dogged this case. since that tragic night. And, you know, the reality is much, much simpler, much cleaner, if you like, that it was a routine car accident.
I just don't think of... I guess we're in a conspiratorial time right now, and just people seem to be into that right now. I don't know. I don't know if they'll accept it. I mean, we've had some interesting people on before talking about all these, you know, things that are attached to this. So it's hard to predict. It's crazy. So now, do you have a website or a place that people can follow you on?
People can follow me on Instagram at Dylan S. Howard. The book Diana, Case Solved, is available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and all good booksellers. And Royals at War is soon to be released in mid-May on e-version due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And then on June 2, the hardcover will be released, which takes a look at the untold story behind the split of Harry and Meghan from the House of Windsor.
Fantastic. Now, we're going to have the book up on the website as well.
Wonderful.
Now, we appreciate you being here. Again, the book we're talking about is Diana, Case Solved. And with us has been the author, Dylan Howard. Thank you.
Thank you again. I appreciate the time. Have a great day.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
The mission has been completed.
The end!
By George, he's got it! It is the end!
I'll see you.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.